Hello and welcome to the D3Football.com Around the Nation podcast for the week of December 10th, 2007. I'm Pat Coleman.
And I'm Keith McMillan.
And we're coming to you live from the Pennsylvania Turnpike on the way back from Alliance, Ohio, where we have whittled it down to the final two teams, number one Mount Union against number two Wisconsin Whitewater, to play in Stag Bowl 35 on Saturday, December 15th. 4 o'clock game, 2 o'clock pregame show, which we'll bring you from Salem, Virginia next Saturday. But first of all, Keith, I know we've said it before and we can say it again, but we've gotten the two best teams in the country. We've gotten number one versus number two, and we didn't have to go to any computers or any polls or create a vast conspiracy of extra voters to get what we wanted. We got it pure and simple on the field.
And we know that these are the two best teams in the country because they took 4 weeks of playoff football to prove it to us. They've earned their chance to play in Salem, and now we're going to see the two teams that we expected, maybe not at the beginning of the season, but by November, we had a feeling that the Warhawks and the Purple Raiders would be again meeting in Salem.
Yeah, for quite some time during the course of the season, it seemed like there were three teams head and shoulders above the rest in Division III. There was some question as to whether Central could join that group or St. John's could join that group, but we always, for quite some time, have known that Mount Union, Wisconsin Whitewater, and Mary Harton Baylor were head and shoulders above the other 235, and that certainly showed true on Saturday with Mount Union trouncing Bethel 62-14, and then a competitive game in the other semifinal with Whitewater beating Mary Harton Baylor 16-7.
And, you know, seeing that competitive game was obviously a lot more, telling as to what we thought the Crusaders could do. You know, if you go back to that October game, with the 41-14 game, again, you know, they just played that style of football that really wasn't their style. Threw the ball, had the turnovers early, and it just it wasn't very representative of the talent we thought they had playing that game tight against the Warhawks. I think we saw maybe their best effort.
We'll talk a little bit more about that game as we go on. Of course, we do want to focus our attentions ahead on Saturday, where we will have the same two teams in the Stag Bowl for the third consecutive season. For Mount Union to get back here, I don't think anybody is really surprised, truly deep down. We talked about it on the post-game show of last year's Stag Bowl, that this was going to be a year in which it was a matter of, you know, the kind of margins of victory that Mount Union was going to roll up on the road back to Salem. For Wisconsin Whitewater, it was really never clear at any point, especially, you know, Bob Berezowitz announcing his retirement before the season started last year, you know, losing some real key guys off of that 2006 team. It's really not a surprise necessarily because they played very well, but you tell me what you think about Whitewater going back to Salem.
It makes it a special run for them because it wasn't automatic, and not saying at all that it was automatic for Mount Union, but Mount Union had the talent and they expected to get back. As far as the Warhawks, you know, they had some pieces, and then they had some other pieces that were sort of assembling as the season went on. New coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, and I think we've just seen now in the playoffs what these guys can do when they're all on the same page.
A little bit of a different style for Wisconsin Whitewater this season. Losing Justin Jacobs at quarterback. Danny Jones comes in transferred from Cal Lutheran, as we all know, with hopes of playing on this stage, and he will get that opportunity on Saturday. But he brings a real different facet to the Whitewater offense.
Definitely, you know, Justin Jacobs was a guy who didn't mind sticking in the pocket and taking his shots downfield. Danny Jones is a guy who not only can scramble and buy some time and gain some yards for the Warhawks coming out of the backfield when a play breaks down, but they've designed some runs for him, and so he brings that element. And if you're out there looking for a reason to watch a third Stag Bowl between the two same teams, the reason really is that this is a completely different Warhawk team starting with the guy under center.
However, it's a very similar Mount Union team. A lot of the key facets of the key players from last year's team still around. Greg McKaylee, who, as we know, didn't start last year's game but was the key component at quarterback for the Purple Raiders. He returned for his junior season, completed almost 74% of his passes over the course of the year. Nate Kamik, not only is he back this year, he's back next year because he's just a junior. Pierre Garcon will be playing his final game as a Purple Raider. He's a senior. A lot of the same guys back on defense, a lot of the same guys on the offensive line as well.
Yeah, eight senior starters on both sides of the ball for Mount Union. So these are guys that have been through this before. And, you know, Derek Blanchard, the senior offensive lineman, Gagliardi Trophy candidate, said it in the post game on Saturday, you know, that this was something they'd look forward to, and he remembers that feeling of seniors losing their last game in the semifinal. Didn't want to ever feel that again, and he's just looking forward to going down there and sending his class off with a bang, and I think they really have a chance to do it.
It didn't seem Saturday like there was much chance that Mount Union would lose at home to Bethel. Bethel, came out a three-play 60-yard drive to Mount Union. They struck first, a touchdown pass that Pierre Garçon took 46 yards to the end zone. Bethel didn't do anything on its first drive. And then Bethel came back and held Mount Union to a field goal, and it began to look like, you know, maybe Bethel could do something.
Well, we saw the signs for Bethel, the flashes, the reason why they were one of the better teams in Division III this season. But to do it against Mount Union, you really have to put it together for not only for the course of a full game, but you have to do it early to keep yourself in the game, to believe that you can stay with Mount Union at Alliance on that field. And Bethel also has a certain type of game that it likes to play. They really want to make the game into a grind and let its offensive line pound and over the course of the game wear a defense down. And when you get behind early and you have to resort to throwing the ball, you know, it doesn't really lend itself to what Bethel was trying to do. And they also had the big issue at quarterback.
Bethel comes back after Mount Union's second drive, the field goal. They held them to a field goal, which was important. They had a long kickoff return into Mount Union territory. So they set up first and 10 at about the 40, and someone's going to go back in the stats, I'm sure, and check that this was wrong. But we're in the ballpark. They go nowhere on first down, basically nowhere on second down, intentional grounding on third down, and then the punt snap goes over the punter's head, and the punter has to fall on it at the 10.
Yeah, and if at any point you believe Bethel was going to be able to get right back in the game, again, down 10 points, with a great kickoff return, thinking maybe if they could put a score here, you know, you have a tight game. That snap took them all the way back to the 10, didn't take Mount Union long to score, and that pretty much broke the game open and sort of crushed Bethel's spirits.
Yeah, 17-0 after a short drive at that point. Bethel then in the second quarter turned over the ball inside its own 20. The Bethel defense managed to hold Mount Union to a field goal in that situation. And, you know, frankly, there were a lot of situations on Saturday where Bethel's defense, backed up, put in near impossible situations, did pretty well.
They had a couple guys who played nice games, you know, and for a team to give up 62 points, there was a defensive touchdown, so they didn't give up all 62 of those points. But for a team to give up that many points and to say though some guys really had nice games in the on defense, you know, I guess is a testament to what kind of talent they had on defense. But also, you know, their scheme, and they said as much in the post game, was to drop guys into coverage, to not waste a whole lot of time trying to get pressure on Mount Union, because I guess for a lot of teams they do that. They commit a lot of guys to blitzing. The line picks it up, and it ends up being a futile attempt, and you leave guys open running across the secondary. We saw it several times on Saturday where Bethel had plenty of coverage, and they forced Greg McKaylee to tuck it and run. Unfortunately, he's pretty good at that.
There were times in which Mount Union countered by spreading out the field, emptying the backfield, throwing the running backs, Kmick and Justin Ray, up in slot positions or in wingback spots, and basically going five wide receivers. And, again, they didn't necessarily find some people open, but then again, one of the things we also saw Saturday was some of the things that Justin Ray can do. Is a guy who's sitting in the shadow of Nate Kmick. He's not going to be the featured running back, obviously, behind a junior, but he did some things in the passing game.
Yeah, not the big star on this team, but somebody who could have been maybe a big star on a different team and has accepted his role alongside Nate Kmick and Pierre Garçon. And when he gets his hands on the ball, he does have that same kind of explosiveness that those guys have. That's why he's on the kick return team, and that's why they try to get him the ball a couple times a game in an offense, because he can do as much damage as those other two guys.
On the defensive side, the Purple Raiders, again, looking strong. Bethel did end up with more than 100 yards rushing on the afternoon. Of course, they had to run 50 times to do that, and a lot of it came in the third and fourth quarter when, yes, they had made some adjustments, but also with a 41-0 halftime score, the game was pretty much decided at that point. Is there anything, and I know Whitewater doesn't officially get to look at this tape, but I'm sure there's somebody in the Akron, Canton, Cleveland area who's, popped a tape in the VCR and is going to send it to Whitewater for them to look at. Is there anything that, if you're Whitewater, you can take away from this game in order to try to work against?
Well, they're not Bethel. You know, they can put it in and say, here's what we think we have personnel-wise on defense that we could stand up against Mount Union. First of all, great defensive line. Guy who's having a great year at defensive end in Ryan Agrizovich. Linebackers who've been to the Stag Bowl before and are also having great years. A.J. Rabel and Tristan Borzik. And then also, you know, the secondary is experienced as well. And the one thing that's not going to happen on Saturday is Whitewater is going to be in awe of being at the Stag Bowl. A lot of the same guys from the last two runs, even though there were some of those significant changes that we talked about, they'll be able to approach this, I think, as a business trip because they've been through the ceremonies and the luncheons and all the big things that are fun, and it's a great part of being on the Salem trip. But this is a really, really important week, and Larry Kara said it in the postgame Saturday. It's the ultimate test of focus because it's not like a bowl game where you get 50 days or whatever between, you know, in these Division I games. These guys playing on a Saturday, a week after the last game, they have to handle all the interviews and stuff tomorrow, tickets, whatever they have to do with their parents, handle that on Sunday. Then Monday, Tuesday, they have to take all their finals, and that's what's really amazing. They travel Wednesday, practice in Salem Thursday, do a lot of the pomp and circumstance on Thursday and Friday, and then line up again and play next Saturday.
If you're listening to this podcast bright and early on Monday morning when it first goes up, we don't know who the Gagliardi Trophy winner is going to be. There are four region finalists, two of whom will be playing in the Stag Bowl. If you're listening to this Monday afternoon or Monday evening and thereafter, you already know who it is. But you know, basically, we're down to four candidates. We're Blanchard, who you already mentioned, Justin Beaver for Whitewater. One of these two guys is going to be taking home an extra piece of hardware after Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, and for it's just hard to believe that the voting committee would give this award to an offensive lineman, and that is not at all saying that Derek Blanchard isn't deserving of it. When Larry Karras, Mountain Union's coach, when he says, this guy is the best football player on my team, and that being the best team in the country right now, you're definitely deserving of the award. Also, someone who fits the criteria as far as community service and grades. A four-year starter, started his record 57th game today for Mountain Union. So someone who's been at the heart and soul of the program, you know, in these past 4 years, certainly somebody who's deserving of the award. But when you see awards like this, usually goes to a quarterback, running back, or receiver, or, you know, occasionally some defensive player who's having an outstanding year. In this case, you know, Justin Beaver, it's hard to believe that anyone else will win this award, and certainly a guy who's been deserving. 3 years as a starter, had 2,400 yards a couple years ago, and has also been at the heart and soul of a team that's been to the Stag Bowl now three times.
Yep, the third trip to the Stag Bowl in a row, of course, for Wisconsin Whitewater, and Justin Beaver's been in the backfield for all of them. You know, one of the things different about this year's team for Whitewater, not just the fact that, you know, they had some personnel changeover in both the coaching staff and on the field, but, you know, they've got Justin Beaver healthy.
And that could make a big difference because last year, if you go back to that game midseason, broke his collarbone against Wisconsin Lacrosse, took five games, was able to come back, I believe, in the second week of the playoffs, and, you know, got himself back in shape a little bit, but it's really tough to miss a significant portion of your season and then try to come back and play at the highest level. Beaver's been healthy this year the whole year. There's been some games where they haven't needed to rely on him. You know, he didn't have a ton of yards against Mary Hardin Baylor, but they got the job done, and that's really all that they're going to be looking to do on Saturday. Even whether Beaver's runs are the backbone of the offensive game plan or they're just in there to keep Mountain Union's defense honest, he's going to be a big part of the Stag Bowl.
Just 24 carries for 60 yards in on a not so perfect field up at Perkins Stadium in Whitewater, Wisconsin. One of the other things, of course, new about the Stag Bowl this season is they will be running on a perfect field. The Salem Stadium switched to field turf over the off season, so the both teams and both running games and both passing games, offenses and defenses, will be running on turf.
And also the early speculation is that the weather will be pretty nice, maybe as high as 60 degrees, although I highly doubt that'll be the weather at game time. So you have the turf field, you have maybe decent weather, probably they're speculating no precipitation, which would be basically a football game that's decided on the field by the players, no factor of the weather, field conditions, anything like that, just which team executes its game plan the best.
And if you are at any point hesitating and thinking about whether you should come down to Salem, you should definitely do it. There are tickets available. It's a great show. You should come tailgate in the parking lot with the Stone Station folks from Bridgewater College. You come down and set up shop in the Salem Stadium parking lot. We will hit the air at 2 o'clock, 2 hours before game time. You can see us set up on our pregame set in the parking lot. Gordon Mann and John McGraw and Ryan Tips, who may be learning about this from listening to the podcast, will be handling the pregame show. Keith and I will pop in and out. We'll also have our exclusive first announcement of the D3Football.com All-American team before kickoff. We'll have interviews with both coaches, et cetera, as we get up to kickoff of Stag Bowl 35.
The thing you really like about it, too, is if you get a chance to come down, it's so representative of Division III. It's a welcoming atmosphere. You know, you even see Mountain Union guys and Whitewater guys talking together in the pregame. You know, the teams are going to be competing on the field against each other, but it's not cutthroat in the sense that we are all here for the same reason. We love the Division III way of football, and if you come down on Saturday, you'll be welcome there. There'll be food for you, and you'll be at the best game of the country.
Here to talk about the Mary Harden Baylor Wisconsin Whitewater game is Gordon Mann, who is not on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. He is, I guess, leaving O'Hare, where his Saturday night flight was canceled. But Gordon, tell us a little bit about the other semifinal.
Well, Pat, in the other semifinal won by Whitewater, I came away impressed with two things, one for each side. For Mary Harden Baylor, I was very impressed by their defensive line play. Their two senior ends, Chad Hilton and William DeWeese, were very active. They were very aggressive. I'm not sure if it's something they did schematically or if it was just their speed off the ends, but they were really able to get to Jones a couple of times and chase him out of the pocket. They were able to bring Henry up at the linebacker position and get him to chase Jones out of the pocket. Freeman, Darrell Freeman, after having a very quiet week last week, played very well today. And he made a number of tackles that were, you don't want to call them arm tackles, but they were really him grabbing, him or Salinas, the sophomore linebacker, grabbing Beaver around the waist and bringing him down. How much of that do you want to attribute to the slow track? Maybe Beaver couldn't get ahead of steam up, I don't know. But there were a number of tackles that you would expect a guy with 2,200 yards to run through. And to the Crusaders' credit, they did a very, very good job tackling all day. So that's the first thing I came away impressed with. The second thing I came away impressed with, and this would give Warhawk fans a little better optimism for next week, was Danny Jones. He is very good. He is very decisive in the backfield. If he doesn't think he has something, he takes off and goes. He's got good speed. He's got good mobility. He's got good size. He doesn't wait for the play to break down and then decide he better take off. At the same time, he's mobile enough to move around in the pocket to create some time to throw the ball down the field. The question for Whitewater is whether they've got the guys who can get open down the field. Merck Vickett did a couple of times. He was their most impressive receiver. The other guys, Roosh and Gifford and Moore, really did very little. Again, I don't know how much of that you attribute to a fast track, but Jones has got the mobility to buy himself time, and he's got a very quick, very strong release. The question is whether Whitewater can find the guys to get open so that Mount Union, rather, doesn't stack the box on them next week.
That was a 13-7 game on Saturday for a long time. And what did Whitewater do defensively against Mary Harden Baylor that maybe you could see them doing defensively again to slow Nate Kamik?
Well, the defense for Whitewater starts up front with their line. Grizovich and Anthony White, who's a sophomore end on the other end, are very good. And they're big guys. They're wide guys. Not meaning to have any kind of offensive line. They are, much like Ryan Cliffy, they are, if you looked at width to height ratio, that's it's a pretty high number for them. They take a lot of space on the line, which makes it difficult to run through them. You kind of have to get around them. The corners, I was also very impressed by the corners and the safeties. Andy Murray is very aggressive. Ben Farley's very good. Gabe Schultz played a very, very good game. If you're looking for a defensive MVP, it's probably either him or Grizovich in this game. And they are athletic, and that does give me hope that they can match up okay with Garcon next week. It's tough to tell, actually impossible to tell in this kind of weather, what they have in terms of foot speed, because nobody had much of any speed on this turf. But they at least have the size and the aggressiveness that makes me think that they will be able to prevent Garcon from getting too deep on them on
Gordon, thanks a lot for joining us, and pleasant and safe travels back to Philadelphia.
My pleasure. Same to you.
That was Gordon Mann of D3Football.com. He called the Whitewater Mary Harden Baylor game a 16-7 win for Whitewater. Past couple of years, Whitewater's had some trouble defending against Pierre Garçon, and I don't know how that's going to be any different this year. Garçon, you know, remember last year there were some questions as to how healthy Garçon was. He had a wrist injury that limited him, basically kept him out of almost an entire half of the St. John Fisher game. They re-schemed things to get him the ball in different situations, and he made the most of it. This year it seems like he's at 100%.
Yeah, and you kind of hit it, Pat. The thing is, if Garçon is being double-teamed deep down the field, if they're playing a safety over the top of him and running a cornerback with him, Mountain Union is creative enough offensively to figure out a way to get him the ball, whether it's just a quick throw at the line of scrimmage and then let him make his moves in open field. We saw him on Saturday drag a couple times across the formation. They'll throw it to him within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and then let him, already running with a full head of steam, take it upfield and sort of, he's a big body, 6'1", I believe, 205 pounds. So, when he gets it going up the field, he's a tough guy to bring down. And they'll hand it off to him if they have to.
That's our Around the Nation podcast heading towards the Stag Bowl. We'll be podcasting from Salem. You'll hear from us on Thursday and Friday. Then, of course, Saturday we'll have about 5.5-6 hours of coverage as we start at 2 p.m. Eastern with the pregame show on NCAAsports.com. For Keith McMillan, I'm Pat Coleman saying goodbye for now. It's our Around the Nation podcast.